Well, please join me as we read our text for this morning's message, which is Revelation chapter 22, the last two verses of this chapter, verses 20 and 21. Let's hear God's word. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May the Lord add His divine blessing to the reading of His holy, precious, infallible Word. In 1942, the Japanese soldiers invaded the Philippines. And during this time, General Douglas MacArthur was in the Philippines. But because President Roosevelt didn't want him to be captured by the Japanese, he ordered him to escape to Australia. And there in Australia, Douglas MacArthur gave his famous speech, I shall return. Indeed, 3 years later, in 1945, he returned to the Philippines. He kept his promise. Well, here in our passage, the Lord Jesus Christ made a similar promise to His bride, to His church. Look at verse 20, please. Surely, I come quickly. That's a beautiful promise of the bridegroom given to his bride. Surely I come quickly. With that in mind, our theme in this message is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is really the main theme of the book of Revelation. In fact, just in chapter 22, this theme appears three times already. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. Then in our passage, verse 20, surely I come quickly. And so what we will be doing in this sermon with God's help is study our text in light of our theme under three headings. If you are jotting down, I will give to you those three headings. First, the promise of the bridegroom to return. I come quickly. Second, the prayer of the bride to her groom. Come, Lord Jesus. And finally, the provision of the groom for his bride as she waits for his return. The grace of our Lord be with you all. Amen. So first of all, let's consider the promise of the bridegroom to return. Again, look at verse 20. He, that is Jesus, which testifieth these things, saith, surely I come quickly. This is the last recorded promise of Jesus to his bride. You see, we, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, are engaged or betrothed to Jesus, to Him, our bridegroom. And our bridegroom has left us temporarily to go back to His Father's house in order to prepare a place for us. And that's precisely what we read in John chapter 14, the first three verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, listen now please, and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. Now, interestingly, in our text, Jesus talks about His second coming, not in the future tense, but in the present tense. That's why He says in Revelation 22 verse 20, surely I come quickly. He doesn't say, surely I will come quickly. Now, what's the difference between the two? What's the difference between I will come and I come? Or in the New King James Version, I am coming, present tense. Well, let me explain the difference. There is actually a difference in emphasis. Let's say Brother John Beakey invited me to have supper to their house at 6 p.m. sharp. And so, 30 minutes before the time, I phoned him. I said, Brother John, I will come to your house. I will come. And then when I left the house, when I started driving, 50 minutes later, I called him again. And I said, Brother John, I am coming to your house. I am coming to your house. That means I'm on my way to your house. Now, when Jesus says in our text, I am coming, there is a sense that He has left already His Father's house. There is a sense that He is on His way to meet His bride. He is coming. Well, what really Jesus is saying here in our text is this. I am on my way, my bride. I'm coming. I'm excited to be with you. I'm excited to marry you. I'm excited to be with you forever and ever and ever. And this is how Jesus wants us to view His second coming. Not really a future event, but it's a present reality. He is coming. And notice also the certainty of His promise to come. Because Jesus adds, surely, surely I come, or I am coming, surely. Now, by the way, in Greek, the word surely is nai, nai, spelled N-A-I. So you can pronounce it nay, N-A-I, but it should be pronounced nai. Now, we use this word in a formal meeting, especially when the chairman says, all those in favor say I. That's nai. That's surely. That's the Greek word here. All those who are in favor say I. And the word I is a term that we use to indicate a strong affirmation. And so during that meeting, when the chairman says, those who are in favor, say I, if you say I, you are showing your strong affirmation about that discussion, about the decision that is being made. And so when Jesus says, surely I am coming, He is giving His strong affirmation about His promise to come. What Jesus is saying is, don't doubt this promise, my bride. I am coming. I am coming. Some version would translate that Greek word, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, I am coming to take you with me so that you can be where I am. Don't doubt my promise. Expect my return. Before coming to Jordan, my family and I had to be on quarantine for 14 days at Algonquin Woods. It's a beautiful place. and the government made a promise. In fact, you can read that on their website. They say, expect visits from the government of Canada during your 14-day quarantine. And so my wife and I, we expected a visit from them. But they never came. They never came. Now, if we quarantine again for another 14 days, and they make that same promise, the tendency is that I'm not going to believe them. Because they did not keep their promise in the first place. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He gives a promise, He adds the word surely to show to us that we should expect His return, that He will indeed come again. Of course, there are many people in this world who don't believe that Jesus will come again. They don't believe the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that should not surprise us at all. Because even Peter himself tells us that in the last days, a lot of people will ridicule those who expect the return of Jesus Christ. For instance, we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, Beloved, I now write to you that you may be mindful that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, Where is the promise of His coming? They will say, You guys, you who attend this church, Heritage Reformed Church here in Jordan, you are foolish. You are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Where is His coming? Where is His promise to come? Now, of course, Book of Revelation was written about 95 AD, and it's now 2021, so it has been 1,926 years since Jesus made this promise. 1,926 years. And you could imagine, you could understand why some people begin to doubt this glorious promise of the return of Jesus Christ. Because He is not yet coming. Where is He? Where is He? But Peter says, But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. The word slack here means the Lord will not delay His promise. It means no one, nothing can delay the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ to come. He will not come late. You know, when General Douglas MacArthur arrived in the Philippines, so he kept his promise. It took him 3 years to return to the Philippines. But he made this statement as soon as he landed on the soil of the Philippines. He said, I am a little late, but we finally came. Late, but we finally came. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ will never say that. He will never say when He returns, I'm sorry, my bride, I'm a bit late. No, He's always on time. He's not slack concerning His promise. And so the question is this. Are you prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? During our quarantine, 14 days of quarantine, like what I said, my wife and I, we were expecting a visit from your government. We tried to be prepared every day. But then they never came. But let me tell you this. Jesus says, surely surely, I am coming. He is on His way. He is on His way. And so this morning, God's Word is calling you to be prepared. Are you prepared to meet the Lord? What if the Lord comes today? Think about that. Just pause for 3 seconds. What if Jesus returns today? Are you, by God's grace, ready to meet Him? But notice also the imminence or nearness of His return. Because He adds, surely I come or I am coming quickly. Look at verse 20. Quickly. Or in the original, the word quickly can also be translated as shortly or soon. And here's the point of the Lord Jesus Christ. It shall not be long before I come again. Quickly. Yes, 1,926 years ago, when Jesus made this promise. But He's saying to us, surely I am coming quickly, quickly. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24, when the disciples came to Jesus, asking Him, please tell us, what is the sign of your return? What is the sign of the end of the world? And Jesus graciously gave them some signs, some pointers of His return. Wars, nation will rise against nation. And there will be famines, pestilences, such as pandemic, earthquakes in various places, persecution, the world will kill you, Jesus says, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And we're seeing that. Global persecution, lawlessness will abound. You see that happening, not just here in Canada, not just in the US, but all over the world. The love of many will grow cold. These are just some of the pointers to Christ's second coming. And what Jesus is saying is this, my disciples, when you see these signs, you know that I am coming shortly. Just as I've never been to Brother John's house. And so, when he invited me to come over to their house, yeah, he gave me their address. I have my GPS, but I don't know where his house is located. And so, he gave me some signs. And so, he said to me, Pastor Brian, when you see this green house over there, or that blue house over there, and another house, you know that you are close to where we live. And so, as I start driving, I saw that house, and I got excited. Why? Because I know that I am close to my destination. And so I called him and I said, Brother John, I will be there shortly because I've seen those signs that you gave to me. And so that's precisely what Jesus is telling us. See those pointers. Have you not seen them? Let us not ignore what is going on in this world. They are signs that point us to the reality of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be blind. Jesus is coming quickly. And these are not my own words. These are the very words of Jesus Christ. Surely I am coming quickly. And so again, I ask you with love, If that's the case, if He's coming quickly, are we prepared to meet Him? Are you prepared? You know, we prepare for our wedding, right? We give our best to get ready for that special occasion. You go to the airport, when you have a flight, you want to be at the airport, at least if it is an international flight, you want to be there at least 2 hours before the time. You don't want to be late. You want to be on time. Are we doing the same? What kind of preparation are we making for the return of our bridegroom? Are you preparing? Am I preparing? You know, sometimes we get too busy and many things are, some of those things are really good, not necessarily bad. But do we prepare for His return? We are busy getting rich. There's nothing wrong to get rich. There's nothing wrong to prepare for college, young people. It's wonderful. Do that. It's great to prepare for your retirement. Do it. But are you preparing for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you respond to the promise of Jesus Christ with the word Amen? Because here we see John the Beloved saying this, by the way, on behalf of the bride of Jesus Christ. Surely I come quickly. And then look at the word Amen. That's the response of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know what it means. It means you are expressing your absolute confidence in this promise. Amen, Lord Jesus Christ. When you hear this promise, my bride, I am coming shortly, surely. And the proper response is Amen. Now, we're not used to that. We who grew up in a Reformed Dutch background, we think that the word Amen belongs to the Pentecostals and Charismatics. We don't want to say it. Say it from your heart. You don't need to say it loudly. But deep within you, can you say that right now? Can you say Amen to the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if that's the case, this should really make an impact on your life. His promise to return should regulate how we think and how we behave. This should really cause us to live a godly life. If we know that Jesus is coming again anytime, this should direct our priorities. This should affect how we use our time and energy and resources. If you know that He is coming again, don't waste your life. Use it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, young people, use your life for your bridegroom. He's coming again. Now, let's move to our second point, the prayer of the bride to her bridegroom. Look at verse 20, please. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. That's the response. And here comes the prayer of the bride. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. This is the last prayer recorded in the Bible. This is a prayer of those who long to see Jesus in His glorified body. a prayer of those who long to be with Jesus physically forever. Because the truth is, like what John tells us, Jesus left, yet He gave us His Spirit. And it is in that sense that Jesus is present with us through the blessed Holy Spirit. But the reality is, Jesus is not present with us bodily and physically. But do we long to hug Jesus physically? Do we long to see Jesus eyeball to eyeball? And to tell Him face to face, Lord Jesus, I love You. I want to kiss You. Thank You so much for all that You have done for me on the cross of Calvary. Thank You for giving Your life for me. Thank You for saving me. Thank You, Lord Jesus. It's hard to have a long distance relationship. My wife and I experienced that. When we were courting, she was living in British Columbia and I was living in Michigan. I think like 5 months, we would not see each other. Yes, virtually you could talk through Skype, but it's different. It's different. That's why a lot of churches nowadays are becoming content with virtual worship. Let's just stay at home and worship at home. Just live, have a live stream of the service. It's different. I want a physical communion of the saints. And more so, I'm not really content right now. Yes, I see you. I love you all. It's good to be with you. But I want to be with my Lord and Jesus Christ. I want to be able to touch Him and see Him face to face. And so here comes the prayer. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. When was the last time you prayed that prayer? Like sincerely. Sincerely. Yes, we pray, Lord, thank You for this food. Lord, please help me as I go to work. Please, Lord, bless this and that. But when was the last time you prayed, come, oh come, Lord Jesus. I can't wait to be with You. You know, my mother-in-law, shortly before she died on her deathbed, she prayed with her hands lifted up toward heaven. And that was amazing that she could actually do that because she was so weak. For her to even lift her hands toward heaven, that was God's grace. And as she lifted up her hands toward heaven, she prayed this. And you can ask those people who were present during this time, who were with her. She said, Lord Jesus, please come quickly. That was her last prayer. And obviously, she was borrowing that prayer from our text. This is a prayer of a true believer. Come, Lord Jesus. Because if this morning, if you are not a true believer, if you are not part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are not His bride, you cannot pray this. In fact, your prayer would be the opposite. Please don't come, Lord Jesus. Please delay your return. I'm not yet prepared to meet You. Don't come. Don't come. You see, the wicked, the ungodly, this will be their prayer. Don't come, Lord Jesus. We don't want to see You. We don't have anything to do with you. Stay away from me. Oh, but a true child of God would say, come, come, Lord Jesus. That's why Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, he makes this prayer a mark of a true Christian. In other words, love for the return of Jesus Christ is one of the marks of a true Christian. As Paul says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Do you love the appearing, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love it? Dr. G. Campbell Morgan once said, I never lay my head on my pillow without thinking of the second coming of Christ. I never go to bed without thinking of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the point that when he would wake up in the morning, did he come? Oh, no. Get disappointed. Do we long? Do we long to be with Jesus Christ? Come, Lord Jesus. What a beautiful prayer. Now, before we get to our last point, let's sing Psalter Selection 264. 264. And we will be singing the first four verses. The first four verses. We've seen the promise of the bridegroom to return. I come quickly. Then the prayer of the bride to her groom. Come, Lord Jesus. Now let's consider the provision of the bridegroom for his bride as she waits for his return. Notice how the Bible ends. It ends with a benediction. A benediction, boys and girls, simply means a blessing. It's a provision. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now, this is fascinating that Jesus ends, the Bible ends with benediction, with provision. And you could imagine how hard it is to wait. I think if we are all honest, we don't like the idea of waiting. We don't want to wait. Especially nowadays, we live in the so-called I want it now generation. This generation expects everything to be fast and instant. That's why you have instant messaging. You have a microwave. You can cook instantly. And unfortunately, that mentality has crept in into churches today. And so we want an instant service. We want an instant preaching. We want everything to be fast and instant. And somehow we also apply that to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want Him to come now, and when He's not yet coming, we get disappointed. Yes, that's good. That's good. But we lose our our interest. We don't want to wait. That's the point. But praise be to God. Jesus knows that. Our bridegroom knows that you are an impatient person. And so He gives you grace. He says, the grace, whose grace? Of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Be with you because He knows that you need it. He knows that we need it as His bride. Especially as we wait, He tells us that we will have to go through tribulation. Again, when the disciples ask Jesus, please tell us the sign of your second coming. Jesus says, they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. In other words, persecution will increase dramatically as Jesus returns. Are we seeing it? Yes. Yes. I sometimes wonder, why is it that the world hates us Christians? Just look at what's going on in Afghanistan right now. Those Christians are being killed. They are being killed because they have a Bible app in their cell phone. They're being killed because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a sense that we should not be surprised when we hear that kind of news, because Jesus tells us it will happen. In fact, Jesus says all these things must come to pass. By implication, He's saying, don't be surprised. What you're seeing right now, this is nothing compared to what will happen in the future as Jesus returns. These things must come to pass. And so the question is, how can we wait for His return? How can we persevere? Here's the provision. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This grace will enable us to remain faithful until the end. You know, I sometimes wonder, where did they get that courage to stand for their faith? That they would rather be shot, they would rather be executed, be killed, than live and recant the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I do believe that when the time comes, when your persecutor asks you, you want to live? Recant your faith. Turn away from Jesus. When you are in that situation, I do believe with all my heart, that's when God Himself comes to you in a special way, giving you grace to stand for Jesus and say, I would rather die. Kill me. I cannot recant my faith. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world will get worse and worse. You know, we talk about going back to normal, a normal life. I think we need to stop dreaming. This world will not get better and better. The world in which we live will get worse and worse. And that's what Jesus tells us. It's one of the signs of His return. It will be difficult for us Christians to live. And yet we have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This grace will preserve us, will preserve the bride. Now, it doesn't mean that we will not get hurt. It doesn't mean that we will not get killed by our persecutors. But it means that, yes, they may kill us, but we will be with Jesus. They cannot separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. No matter what they do, you see, behind all this, This persecution is Satan. Satan is trying to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he can't, because Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and even the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Even Satan cannot destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he can harm the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he cannot separate the bride from him. From him. And yes, even when we die, there is a sense that our death will just serve like an airplane, a transportation for us. It's like a wheelchair that will roll us over to the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we are there, we don't need that wheelchair. We don't need to die. We will only die once. And so death becomes a blessing for us believers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It's not easy to be a Christian, but we have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I remember preaching in one congregation, and when I pronounced the benediction, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, so usually members will stand up, and this member, he was like this. He was like this. He was the only one like that. He extended his arms. And so I was curious. After the service, I quietly asked him. I said, I'm curious. Why did you extend your hands, your arms like this when I pronounced the benediction? He said, I want to receive it. I don't want to miss it. I need it. I need it. I need the grace of God. I said, you know what? Indeed, we need it. You know, oftentimes we don't pay attention to the benediction. It's part of our worship service. We end actually with benediction. And sometimes we want to be in a hurry. We want to get out of this sanctuary right away. We don't pay attention to the benediction of God, to the blessing of God. May not be so with you, because you need it. Don't miss it. You need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is only by His grace that we will be able to persevere until the end. You know what Jesus says in Matthew 24? Again, this is part of His response to the disciples' question. Give us the sign of your return. Jesus says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, when you read this, it sounds like salvation depends on us. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Well, those who will endure to the end are those who have the saving and sustaining grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are His bride, your bridegroom will make sure that you will meet Him someday. And this is our assurance. If you struggle with assurance of salvation, will I make it to the end? That's probably your biggest question right now. The world is just breaking apart. Will I make it to the end? You will. You will endure. And you will endure because of God's preserving and sustaining grace upon your life. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. As I end this message, when General MacArthur returned to the Philippines 1945, he did a radio broadcast in which he announced, "People of the Philippines, I have returned." For his allies, his return brought joy. Brought joy. For the people of the Philippines, his return brought joy. It meant freedom. Freedom from the bondage of the Japanese. It was a celebration when he returned. But for the enemies, his return was terrifying because it meant vengeance. It meant judgment. It meant punishment. You see, when Jesus returns someday, his return will bring joy to his bride, unspeakable joy. He will bring an end to all their suffering. He will usher them in the new heaven and new earth. He will say to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Oh, but for the ungodly, for the wicked, for the unbelievers, his second coming will be terrifying, will be horrifying. Yes, yes, many will say to Jesus, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" Some people will plead with Jesus for the last time, but "Lord, Lord, we have done this and that in your name." And by the way, these are church leaders, maybe pastors, missionaries, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, Bible study leaders. They are saying, but "Lord, we have done this and that. Based on our good works, you should save us and take us to be with you." Oh, but Jesus will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I will take you away and cast you into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where their worms does not die and the fire is not quenched." That's horrifying. That's horrifying. This church will be suddenly divided when Jesus returns. When Jesus returns, those believers will rejoice. The unbelievers, they will be so horrified. Jesus will say to them, "Depart from me. You are not my bride. You are not part of my wedding celebration." And the reason being is because you don't have the proper garment. And what is that garment? Well, we see that in Revelation 16 verse 15. Revelation 16 verse 15. "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame." The garment is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you are not a believer, you don't have his righteousness. If you don't have his righteousness, you remain naked. If you remain naked, you cannot attend the wedding feast of the love, of the Lamb, the celebration, the wedding celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are excluded forever. But I have good news for you. The bridegroom is on his way, but he has not yet arrived. You still have time to get dressed, to put on that garment. And so really this message too is a call for you to believe in Jesus. Repent of your sin. and be ready for His return. You know, boys and girls, I will end with this illustration that I read. There was a little girl who had been listening while her mother's friends had been speaking about the near return of the Lord. After some hours, this little girl was missed. They could not find her. She was found looking out of a window at the top of the house. When her mother asked her what she was doing, she said, Oh, mother, I heard you say Jesus might come today, and I wanted to be the first to see Him. Look, mother, I washed myself and put on a clean dress. Figuratively speaking, that's what we want to do. We want to wash ourselves by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to put on that new garment, that clean dress, His righteousness by faith. Until then, you're not ready, you're not prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I am coming quickly, surely.